Working here in the Barnett Shale requires that you have the best equipment available, because every job counts. Put Energy Weld Fab to work on your next project. Energy Weld Fab manufactures oil and gas production equipment, as well as fabrication of custom vessels, piping, and structural steel. The Energy Weld Fab sales staff has a wealth of knowledge working here in the state of Texas and other regions, as some of their biggest clients are folks like EOG, Chesapeake, Quicksilver, and XTO. Call Mike Clements at Energy Weld Fab's team today with your questions and ordering information at 903-297-2500. That's 903-297-2500. Energy Weld Fab is your number one choice for oil field and production equipment, because they understand that every job counts. That's Energy Weld Fab at 903-297-2500.
At the start of the game, everyone wants to win.
Okay, let's get them on three. One, two, three, team!
In the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, everyone's a winner. Whether you're an athlete, coach, donor, or volunteer, you can help put the heart and soul in sports by impacting the world for Jesus Christ. Join FCA and stand in the winner's circle.
And that's the end of the game.
No matter what the scoreboard says. Learn more at FCA.org.
It's not about how much money you make, where you live, or what kind of car you drive. It's about whether you love what you do. At Pinnacle Bank, you'll always have someone who's interested in helping you achieve your dreams, because we believe in a personal approach to banking. That's the Texas way. And at Pinnacle Bank, we think that's the way banking should be. To find a convenient location near you, visit us online at pinnbanktx.com. Pinnacle Bank, Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC.
The Western Company of Texas is the premier oil field water transfer service in the Bakken, Barnett, Fayetteville, Haynesville, and Woodward Shale, basically all the shale plays. Their goal is to efficiently transfer water to your next completion job with the best service possible to meet all your water transfer needs. With over 100 miles of water transfer pipe and over 90 high-capacity pumps on hand, they're ready to go to work on your next water transfer job 24/7, even with the most demanding timelines. Their employees log over 430,000 hours a year laying pipe in some of the roughest terrain with zero delays and zero excuses. Give their team a call at 682-831-9300. That's 682-831-9300. Or online at wct.us.com.
The Big E Sports Show with host Elissa Walker-Campbell just got bigger. Featuring former defensive star and three-time national champion at Nebraska and NFL player Jason Peter.
Jason Peter
under the helmet. With Jason Peter on the Big E Sports Show with host Elissa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, we are back this weekend on the Big E Sports Show, and college football, our coverage and conversation continues. Last week, we recapped the Big 12 Conference and its media days right here in Dallas, Texas. This week, we are going to shift avenues. We're going to turn our attention to the Big 10 Conference as it welcomes its newest member, that of course being the Nebraska Cornhuskers. Our source and commander-in-chief for Husker football is the great Jason Peter, who I can only imagine is counting down the days till the Huskers open up their season against Chattanooga. Boy, what a tough opponent you guys are going to open up against.
I know. It's somewhat embarrassing. It seems like 99% of the schools kind of do it. The problem is you can't really get a top-notch opponent sometimes to come into Lincoln for the first game of the season, at least somebody who has conference championship hopes, national championship hopes. So I think nowadays, with some of these conferences that are putting together, a lot of schools are saying, well, we've got a gauntlet to go through just in terms of our conference schedule. We should probably back off a little bit on the non-conference. But, you know, not everybody does it. I respect those teams that come right out of the gate playing a monster opponent, but it seems like there's usually that powder puff game to start off with. Then you step up. I know for Nebraska, it's Fresno State. It's kind of a middle-of-the-road type deal. And then you step up with another team from a major conference, at least looking at Nebraska's non-conference schedule.
Well, and I have to share, Jason, you know, the Big Ten Conference didn't do Nebraska any favors in terms of scheduling their first year. I mean, you guys are matched up against some pretty tough opponents within your conference. On the road at Wisconsin, at Penn State, and of course you have Ohio State. That's the weekend of your celebrity golf tournament right there in Lincoln.
Yeah, I think when the powers that be over there at the Big Ten Conference, when they certainly wanted Nebraska. I think anytime you gain a school like Nebraska, I think it automatically adds to the credibility. And I'm not just saying that because it's my alma mater. I mean, it's, you know, the same thing if Oklahoma was to go to a different conference, or Texas, or any school like that. You know, you're not adding a school from a lower division. I mean, this is a former national champion. This is a school that is being favored to win the conference in its first year. So I think a lot of people are excited to have Nebraska, but I think they said, listen, even with all the excitement that we have Nebraska coming, we need to make sure that they do not win the conference in their first year, because that will not look good. And sure enough, I mean, you said it, you know, going to Wisconsin, following that up with Ohio State, you get a little break with going to Minnesota, but then, you know, Michigan State, who's been solid these last 4 or 5 years, Northwestern, that, you know, they can surprise you at any time. But then going to Happy Valley, and then going to Ann Arbor, and then you've got Iowa, which now is, I guess, the premier game for Nebraska and Iowa. It's going to be played following Thanksgiving every year, and I know that they are declaring it a trophy game, so I guess the Big Ten likes that one. Obviously, with the natural landscape of Nebraska and Iowa bordering each other, there's a natural rivalry there. For me, I think rivalry is built through competition out on the field. It's through overtime games. It's through, you know, bad calls. It's through cheap shots. It's through blowouts. I think those are how true rivalries are born, and there probably will be some game on Nebraska's schedule that will have all of those kind of intangibles. But for now, the Big Ten Conference has tabbed Nebraska and Iowa as one of these trophy games.
What are the key questions for you when you look at the positions, the outlook for 2011 for the Huskers? What's the key questions that need to be addressed as you guys prepare to move forward?
There's one big glaring question. I think Nebraska's season, you hate to say that a whole season rests on the shoulders of one guy, but let's be realistic. I mean, you look at Nebraska, since the Pelini brothers, or since Bo has gotten here, the defense has never been a problem. I mean, they've played well enough to win most games. Sure, there's been the embarrassment down in Norman his first year where OU put 24 points up in the blink of an eye.
I didn't bring that up.
Yeah, it was brutal. I was there. But, you know, for the most part, looking past his first year, Nebraska's defense has been a top-10 defense. They've played well enough to win a championship, I think. They just haven't got any help from the offense. So when you look at this team, he'll figure something out on defense. You know, it's just that's his bread and butter. It comes down to offense, and then more in particular, it comes down to Taylor Martinez. And this is a guy who is not without controversy. I mean, there was talks that he was transferring at the end of the year. There was talks that, you know, nobody in the locker room likes this guy. There was talks that he wasn't showing up for mandatory meetings and some practices, and, you know, the father's involved and this and that, and this kid is he's under a microscope again, and deservedly so. You know, you're the quarterback at Nebraska. It's the same as being the quarterback at Texas or Oklahoma. I mean, there are expectations there, and you've got to play well enough that at least you're not hurting the team. And there were times last year, and I know he was banged up a little bit, but then again, you know, there was talk that, well, maybe he's not that injured. Maybe, you know, it's more of an acting job, and who knows what's true. But the reality is that this is a huge year for him. And I think, you know, for Nebraska, there's not a whole lot of depth at the quarterback position. Cody Green, who is the kid that from Texas, who's been backing, who backed up Taylor last year and filled that same role his freshman year, he's transferred. He's gone. So Nebraska really has some issues at quarterback in terms of depth.
And I'm curious, you know, when we talk about offensively, how will the Nebraska Cornhuskers, you know, how will they fare? But how will they do against some of the defenses within the Big Ten Conference? Jason, kind of, can you give us some comparative analysis as far as, you know, the Big Ten defense as opposed to the Big 12 defenses that they faced?
Yeah, I think when people talk about the differences, I think the Big Ten has always been labeled this power conference, this you know, Ron Dane type running backs, and they're going to line up with two tight ends, and they're going to pound the ball at you. And to be able to deal with that, I think people think that, you know, Big Ten defenses naturally are typical 4-3 defenses, big linebackers out there, 245, 250 pounds that can stop the run. And I think some teams, when you look at their rosters and their lineups, probably still stick with that. But I think with Rich Rodriguez, even though he's not there at Michigan anymore, I think him coming into Michigan and instituting the spread offense, I think just naturally with as big as that spread offense has gotten, I think a lot of teams have adopted a little bit and have incorporated that into their own offenses. So I think you've seen some of the defenses lighten up a little bit. For me, it's, you know, you put your best 11 guys out there. And for Nebraska, I know that they've got 11 guys that can run. That was always Charlie McBride's mentality. It's Bo Pelini's mentality that I want 11 football players that can run. And I don't think you can get too caught up in saying, well, this is a big, offensive line here, and they're going to try to pound it at us. I think, you know, you need your guys up front to play great defensive line play, because if you don't have that, it doesn't matter who you have playing at linebacker. You could have, you know, Brian Urlacher next to Barrett Rood, and you know, throw in the Wills kid from San Francisco. If you're not playing good defensive line play, those three guys won't make a play, because they're going to have defensive linemen as well as offensive linemen in their face the entire game. So you got to play well up front, and it seems like Nebraska, you know, with Jared Crick coming back, he's a preseason All-American. You know, they've got some good young guys up front, so I think the defensive line's going to be fine. They've got linebackers that can run. That's their thing. I don't think Bo's going to change. I don't think he's going to say, I need to put in a 250-pound guy. But I do think that the Big Ten as a whole is kind of getting away from that idea that they're this just, you know, 3 yards in a cloud of dust. I think in order to be successful as a coach, as an offense, I think you've got to do stuff that works. And right now, getting playmakers the ball in space is what works. So I think you're going to continue to see that, not just from Big Ten teams, but it's happening all over the country.
Well, and I think back to last year, correct me if I'm wrong, but Nebraska, I mean, you guys, as you've talked about, I mean, you guys can run the ball effectively. Will you be able to do that within the Big Ten Conference this year? But what about throwing the ball? That continues, as we had just talked about. That's going to be the big question mark.
It is, and I mean, that's, you know, the big question that lays there with Taylor Martinez. You know, he can run a spread in terms of taking the ball and running and using his athletic ability, but you got to be able to stretch the field. You got to be able to create some space in between those first and second levels and those second and third levels. You got to have a threat down the field. And you know, we've heard a lot about how he's an accomplished passer. Well, being accomplished, you know, on Monday or Tuesday doesn't really resonate with me. I could care less. You know, how many balls you're completing during the week. I want to see you complete balls on Saturday, and that's something he hasn't done yet. But, you know, like you said, it all starts no matter what team you are. You know, even when you look at those offenses that Kevin Wilson ran down at OU, I mean, for as dynamic as they were and as you know, prolific as those quarterbacks were, it all starts with a running game. You got to be able to run the ball. And I'm not saying you've got to run to set up the pass. I think that was the old way of looking at things. Now a lot of teams are looking at it as we're going to stretch the field first and then follow up with running. Either way, I don't care which way you do it, but you got to have success running the football. Otherwise, it's the easiest thing for a defense to do. When you become one-dimensional, you know, it's all gravy for the defense coordinator and for those defensive players knowing kind of what you're going to do. And the same works for when you're just running the football. Like Nebraska, you know, for the most part was at some points last year. You've got to be able to do both. You've got to be multiple. That's a term that Bo always uses on offense. Now, the problem is, you know, you still want to be successful throwing the ball, but, you know, your players, they still have to have this physical nastiness about them, and especially that offensive line. And the thing that I always noticed was if you're practicing throwing the ball 65-75% of the time during the week, during, you know, ones versus ones on Tuesdays and Wednesdays practice, the problem is when that's all you do, I think that's a mentality that your players develop. If your offensive linemen are constantly going backwards in pass protecting, now when you're asking them on Saturday to knock people off the line of scrimmage and be physical and
right.
nasty, it's not in them because they've been going backwards the entire week. So you are, in a way, what you practice during the week is what you become on Saturday. So, you know, there's a fine line there in terms of, you know, the amount of time you're spending on, you know, the throwing game and on the run game.
Jason Peter, Husker Great, is with us this weekend on the Big East Sports Show. And right now we are focusing in on the Big Ten Conference. And what teams really intrigue you? You had mentioned even Indiana, you know, of course, Oklahoma connection there. Kevin Wilson, now the head coach. What kind of job do you think he's going to be able to do?
Yeah, I think he'll do a good job. I mean, he's just a guy, he understands winning. He comes from a great program. I don't think Indiana will be worse off than what they were. But it's interesting. You know, I watched Kevin Wilson's Big Ten at the media day, his interview, and he spoke about how, you know, it's all about now and it's about into the future, and we don't worry about, you know, what happened before. And he says, I haven't watched 1 minute of game film of the last year.
Really?
And he's not the first coach to say that. You've heard a lot of coaches that have taken over programs that struggled, and most of the time that's why a new coach is in there, because the old coach has struggled. But I've heard a lot of them say that well, I don't worry about last year. And I'm just thinking, man, you know, I know these coaches, they've got an arrogance about them, and they've got egos that you can't fit through the door. But to me, if I'm taking over a program, and I'm being paid a couple million dollars a year. I want to know what I got in the cupboard. I want to know my player's strengths and weaknesses. Sure, I might not know every single defense or offense that or play that was being called under, you know, certain circumstances. I don't know what that offensive coordinator was thinking about last year, but at least you can see how guys run, how they compete in you know, crunch situations. I want to know stuff about my players. Are they guys that quit? Are they guys that, you know, fought till the end? Who do I have that can rush the passer? I mean, I can turn on a third down play from last year, not know the defense, and know that defensive end is trying to get to the quarterback. So I think there are things that you can learn, but I don't know if this is just now the arrogance on these head coaches. I mean, they all have it. There's, and part of them, I mean, that's why they got to where they did, is because they're confident about their abilities. But sometimes you got to look at these guys and say, really? I mean, you're the guy that's you know, the CEO, basically, of this multi-million-dollar business? I mean, you know, it's the same thing when you look at, you know, Bo sometimes on the sidelines and the way he reacts. And you're thinking, really? This is the guy we're paying $3 million a year to? Sometimes I think when you know, I think what these guys are getting paid, and you just think, man, I would expect them to do everything they possibly could.
Turn over every rock.
Successful. And if there's game film there, I would want them to be looking at it 24 hours a day. Until they have some of their own game film. But I don't know.
Jason Peter with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. And what is interesting, when you look at the 2011 schedule for the Nebraska Cornhuskers being now in the Big Ten Conference, is you guys don't even play Indiana this year.
Indiana's not on our schedule. I wish we maybe did have Indiana. That's probably one of the easier games, at least, you know, based off their reputation, but
I'm looking forward to the one with Penn State. You guys haven't played them since 2003, and you know, to go against Joe Paterno, one of the all-time greats in college football.
He really
That's
is.
Cool.
You know, there's a lot of people that say, you know, it's time to hang it up. That you need the program to move on and upward. And some people feel like he's holding them back. Maybe he doesn't connect with the 17-year-old kid that's a senior in high school, and basically that's part of the job now, is you got to connect. But you know, this guy's a legend, and I know at times I've felt like, hey, if you can't be down there on the sidelines coaching your team, then maybe you shouldn't be there. And you know, it is a game for young people. Not to say that you can't be an older coach and be successful, but sometimes I know just for myself, I get caught thinking kind of Stone Age wise and, you know, back in the day. And I do think that there are elements of this football game that I don't care if it's 1920 or if it's 2040. You know, playing hard, solid, physical football with guys that are going to be more physical than their opponent. It's about catching the ball, blocking, tackling, you know, with good form. I mean, these are things that never change, but there are elements of the game that have changed. And, you know, I think for Joe Paterno, as long as he realizes that I don't have to be the smartest guy in the room anymore, I just have to hire the smartest guys to be around me. I think that's the only thing. I mean, if he's holding on to being the shot caller on all aspects of the team, then, you know, probably will continue to ship, but to sink. But if he's not and he's willing to you know, delegate and give some more responsibility to some of those other guys on staff, then I think they'll be fine.
We are quickly wrapping up our radio interview with Jason Peter. I will tell you, JP, it is the most wonderful time of the year. I almost sound like I want to sing some Andy Williams because the NFL lockout is over. And I wanted to get just a quick take on that. I mean, are you satisfied with how the issues, they were resolved? I mean, do you feel good about the direction now of the NFL between the owners and the players? Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think everybody's happy. I think that there's certainly enough money out there for the players. You're seeing some of these contracts that have been signed, and you just knew that there was too much money here at stake for the owners, even though they would have gotten money from the TV contract that was signed. You just know that they don't want to lose out on a week or 2 weeks of not just the regular season, but the preseason. I mean, they don't want to have to go back to their hometowns and have to deal with, the people in the community that are going to be losing money because there's no football game this week, in their city. So it's more than just, what the team was losing. But I just think it was funny. You hear people talk about whether or not the league will have lost support because of this lockout. And you just got to laugh, because what was really lost? I mean, nothing. In fact, the NFL was probably more front and center this offseason than at any point in the last, 20 years. It was something that was talked about every single day. And, I mean, what did fans miss? Did they miss a couple mini camps that, for the most part, aren't televised? I mean, you get to watch a clip here and there on your local news, but
the players probably enjoyed a little bit of a break, a little downtime, too.
I've heard more players come out and say, I feel better today after this lockout than ever before.
Yeah.
Because they don't have to go and even though, there's those mini camps and there's not the use of pads, I can tell you that it is live football. You wear these kind of little shells, little padded things on your shoulders, but it's live football, especially up front on the line of scrimmage. I mean, you've got offensive linemen that are coming off the ball and they're trying to move you and they're trying to win a job and they're trying to win a paycheck, and you've got defensive linemen that are going, as hard as they can from A to B. And I'd walk out of those mini camps like every other lineman that goes to them, and your shoulders are black and blue. They're bloodied. You got chunks of skin taken out from face masks that have tore that skin off. And, it is a physical camp, even though there's not pads being worn. So I know for a lot of these players, without those two mini camps this year, a lot of these guys say, my legs are back, my body feels good. Now you obviously got to be careful about early injuries going into training camp, because even though those mini camps, can take their toll, they're still kind of keeping you in that playing condition. I don't care how many 40s you run during the off season; it doesn't get you in shape. It doesn't get you in playing shape. And the only thing that does that is having the helmet on, having the spikes on, and the equipment, and being out there and doing it. That's the one thing that I'm sure teams are going to be very cautious of early on is those early injuries, the hamstring pulls and stuff like that.
Well, and Jason, firsthand, you've been in the NFL, played 5 years, and just the grind mentally, physically, and these guys have got to feel refreshed and ready to go. So that is the good news. It just was a very long process going back to the month of March. I'm just a little bit more concerned about the NBA because I'm ready for them to tip it up when the season rolls around, and I hope they get everything worked out. We are flat out of time. Jason, thank you so much, and we'll catch up with you again real soon here in just a week or so, okay?
Absolutely.
Thanks, Jason. We'll catch up with you next week.
Thank
Thanks,
you,
hon.
E.
We're going to step aside. Much more straight ahead here in just a moment.
The Big E Sports Show with Elissa Walker-Campbell is the biggest names in sports.
Delivering the insight
you won't find anywhere else.
Anywhere else.
Like TCU head football coach Gary Patterson,
Texas A&M great R.C. Slocum,
and Big E's regular guest of ESPN Radio, better known as the Double Nickel, Jason Peter. The Big E Sports Show
with Elissa Walker-Campbell.
Miss one episode and you miss the game.